You're listening to Modern Tech News on KCSU Stanford 90.1 FM. Thank you so much for joining us today for our show about the Hoover Institution's exhibitions and library and archives. Our guest today is Jean Cannon, an archivist at the Hoover Institution. We are very lucky that Jean joined us today because she is an expert on World War I and will give us an overview of the recent exhibit called Weapon on the Wall, American Posters of World War I. Jean will also give us a summary of some of the upcoming exhibitions at the Hoover Institution, including The Crown Under the Hammer, Russia Romanov's Revolution. In today's interview, Jean will also describe how people can use the Hoover archives as well as the reading rooms in the library. Thank you again for joining us today, and we would like to thank Jean Cannon very much for today's interview.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jean Cannon. I'm an archivist at the Hoover Library and Archives at Stanford. I'm very happy to be at KZSU today, and I just wanted to take a few minutes to tell you about the great collections that are at Hoover Archives and exhibitions and public programming that's available to the Stanford and the local community. Right now at Hoover, we have about 6,000 collections in probably more than 171 languages. So by volume, it's one of the biggest collections in the country, spanning many, many different regions across the globe.
Do you have reading rooms where people can come and do research on the collections at Hoover?
Yes. One of the great things about the collections is that they are all available to the public. So we have two reading rooms, one for the archival collections and then one for the library. I'm sure that many of your listeners have been to the Hoover Tower. That's where we house the library, which is about a million volumes.
Is there a way to search the Hoover archives before getting to the reading room?
If you are looking for a book, you can use the Stanford SearchWorks site, which I'm sure a lot of your students are familiar with. And then if you're looking for archival collections, you can search through the Online Archive of California, which is a website that lists all of the collections at repositories across the state. So you can limit your search to Hoover and find out what material is there that's relevant to your interests.
Could you please repeat the name of that website again?
It's the Online Archive of California.
Do people need to reserve space in the reading room before coming to Hoover's library?
No, we're open to the public. So as long as you have a valid photo ID, a driver's license, or a university ID, then you can come to the reading room and we can page materials for you to use there.
Our guest Jean Cannon worked on and helped put together an exhibit that just ended at the Hoover Institution. It was called Weapon on the Wall, American Posters of World War I, and now she'd tell us why they chose posters as a medium for this exhibit.
Well, one collection that we're well known for at Hoover is the poster collection. So we have about 130,000 posters. luckily, and most of them have been digitized, and you can actually search them online. But this summer, we decided to mark the centenary of America entering World War I by putting together an exhibition called Weapon on the Wall, American Posters of World War I. And World War I is kind of the golden age of the poster. These posters are just, they're stunningly beautiful, but they also allow us to sort of see the history of propaganda as well as art. So they're fascinating to lots of different people. So we put together this exhibition. And also, as another sort of component of that exhibition, we researched Stanford students who had served during World War I and put out some of the materials related to them. So lots of wonderful photographs and drawings and letters and documents and, you know, and some really wonderful letters written home by these students.
Yeah, they were very moving.
Very moving, yeah.
How long does it usually take to put an exhibition like this together?
Well, usually it takes at least a year. Ideally, we would have 2 to 3 years to work on these exhibitions, but just to find a curator and then to select the materials and then to design the layout for the exhibition, which you're hopefully going to do very thoughtfully in order to tell a narrative, that takes at least a year.
How many posters did you end up selecting for the exhibition on American Posters of World War I?
There were nearly 60 posters, I want to say. So we sort of took a survey of the posters and then we put them together thematically. So there was a section on enlistment, for example, and then a section on women in uniform, on food and aid, et cetera, et cetera. And we had so many wonderful posters to choose from. It was very hard to narrow it down. But as I said, luckily, if people are really interested in the topic, they can come and see them themselves.
How can people find these posters online or search the Hoover Archive for posters?
We have a digital portal on our Hoover Library and Archives website. So if you go to digitalcollections.hoover.org/collections, then you can search for these materials.
On the website, there's a search and there's also an advanced search.
Ah, you're interested in the posters specifically. Yes. So if you go to the advanced search feature on the website, then you have certain filters you can use and you can limit your search to posters.
And then people have the ability to search for the posters by time period?
By time period, by the country of origin. You can search for certain slogans, for certain keywords.
You mentioned that the World War I poster exhibit was your favorite exhibit.
Right.
Why?
Well, I personally have a background in studying World War I. I did a degree on World War I poetry. So the time period is endlessly fascinating to me. I think it's an interesting strength of the collection because the Hoover Library and Archives was sort of begun because of Herbert Hoover's involvement in World War I. He did a lot of humanitarian aid and relief work during that period. So they're just amazing materials that relate to World War I. So we're actually coming up on our centenary because the library opened in 1919, right after the war ended.
You mentioned that the golden age of the posters was World War I, and there was a lot of propaganda on those posters. How do you think propaganda has changed since that time, especially that we don't use posters that much anymore?
It's funny. I mean, I think the poster is specifically important during World War I because you're dealing with a time period before broadcast radio and television, right? And also before photography becomes the dominant sort of medium, right? So the artwork is just stunning. Just as art objects, the posters are wonderful examples of color lithography. That in and of itself is amazing. However, there are lots of ways in which propaganda hasn't changed, right? I mean, if you look at the posters, you can see that they use short, snappy slogans. And many people who came to the exhibit sort of remarked upon how close that is to Twitter right now. You know, there's a limitation on characters that seems to work really well for propaganda, right? So it changes and it doesn't change. And that spurred on a lot of good conversation as people were walking around the galleries.
At the time of the poster exhibit at Dover, there was also a talk about the new book called The Hello Girls. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Right. In conjunction with the exhibition, there was a wonderful talk by Elizabeth Cobbs, who's a historian and a fellow at Hoover, and she has just finished a book called The Hello Girls, which is about a group of women. Most of them were former AT&T switchboard operators, but they were recruited into the Army and they served in France. And in order to serve, you had to be a woman who is bilingual. So these women, their individual stories are fascinating enough, but then they also, after the war, they tried to get full veteran status and they were denied that. And so they went on a decades-long quest to be recognized for their service. And so Elizabeth Cobbs has sort of traced their personal stories and also found many archives that were perhaps in the closets and attics of their family members. She did a wonderful job tracing that story, which is one of the lesser known stories until now of World War I.
And the cover of the book was one of the posters in the exhibit, right?
Yes, it was a poster that featured one of the Hello Girls at the switchboard.
What are some of the new exhibitions that will be at the Hoover Institution this year?
Well, I wanted to, to let all your listeners know that we have a very exciting upcoming exhibition. It's called The Crown Under the Hammer, Russia Romanov's Revolution. I think we're all very excited about this as it shows off one of the real strengths of our collection, which is the Russian and Eurasian collections at Hoover. This exhibition marks the centenary of the Russian Revolution, obviously, in 1917. And so it will include artwork from the collections, some very interesting and valuable Soviet posters, but also documents, letters, photographs that relate to, not only the Tsar's family, but also to, Lenin and Trotsky. And I think it's going to be a wonderful exhibition for anyone who's interested in this time period. Center. So we are joining up with the Cantor Arts Center to have a joint exhibition. So we're very excited about this because we are going to be able to feature a lot of wonderful artwork, paintings, also some of the well-known Soviet posters, which are very beautiful and very valuable, and it's wonderful to see those displayed. But we'll also have photographs, documents, some film, so some just a wonderful variety of material from the archive.
When does the exhibit start?
So the exhibit will open October 18th, and it's going to run till March 4th. And the material will be in the gallery at Cantor and then also in the Herbert Hoover Exhibition Pavilion that is right beside the Hoover Tower.
Is there a website for this Russian exhibition?
Yes, if you go to the Library and Archives website, you'll see that there's a tab for exhibitions. So you can read about the Crown Under the Hammer exhibition and also about our past exhibitions, including the poster exhibition.
Will the Russian exhibition, The Crown Under the Hammer, have something new that you have not done before at the Hoover Institution?
This exhibition will feature something that's kind of unusual for us in that it will feature a lot of paintings. And we don't usually get to display as many of those as we'd like. A lot of the paintings are of Russian nobility before the fall of the Tsar. And so it's wonderful if you put the paintings of some of the Russian aristocrats from the period before the Russian Revolution next to the Soviet posters, you can see the dramatic change in worlds, right, that happens in Russia in 1917.
How will the exhibition be organized in two places on campus? One is the Cantor Museum and the other is the Exhibition Pavilion at the Hoover Institution.
There will be two gallery spaces, so some of the paintings and the posters will be at Cantor, and then a lot of the archival material, the documents and letters, etc., will be at the Herbert Hoover Exhibition Pavilion, which is just beside the Hoover Tower, so very easy to find. One great feature of the Crown Under the Hammer exhibition is that there's going to be a series of gallery talks that will be delivered by curators and other folks who have worked to put this exhibition together, who are the real experts on the items. But also, starting in January, there will be a film series. And so if your listeners want to check the Cantor website, there's a list of the gallery talks and also the films that will be shown and the different scholars that will introduce the film screenings.
Why is the exhibition called The Crown Under the Hammer?
We chose the name The Crown Under the Hammer because obviously the crown is a reference to Tsar Nicholas, right? And then the hammer is a reference to the hammer and sickle that is the emblem of the Communist Party.
So the Russian exhibition will be ongoing until March 2018. Do you have other exhibitions that are planned after March?
Oh, we will have another exhibit, yes. After The Crown Under the Hammer, we're going to have an exhibition on a collection called Overseas Weekly, which is a fascinating photography collection that we hold at Hoover. And Overseas Weekly was a publication that was actually founded by a Stanford grad. So it was during the Vietnam era, it was sort of a alternative paper to, for example, the Stars and Stripes, right, which would have been an official paper that was put out by the government. So Overseas Weekly contained articles and photographs that were done by GIs. So it's a real raw glimpse into the experience of GIs in Vietnam. And so they very frankly discuss race, drugs, opposition to the war, what's going on the ground. So I think it's a wonderful publication for anyone who is studying the history of the war. And we have the photo collection that goes along with that publication. And I think it seems that everyone I know is watching the Ken Burns documentary on Vietnam right now. I know I am. And lots of other folks have mentioned that. And actually, Ken Burns used some of Hoover's material, some of our collections for that documentary. So there seems to be a lot of interest in the topic right now. And I think this upcoming exhibition will really be fascinating to lots of different people.
Have you decided on a name for the exhibition yet?
We don't have the official title of the exhibition yet, but the collection that will be featured is Overseas Weekly.
Do you know approximately when this exhibition will start?
That will start in April of 2018.
Could you give us an idea of how Ken Burns ended up using your material for his series on Vietnam?
So Ken Burns probably has a fleet of researchers working for him, and they would go through major repositories and find out where the most significant collections on Vietnam are held. For Hoover Library and Archives, we have a very specific focus that is war, revolution, and peace in the 20th century to today. So basically any researcher who's working on social, political, or economic change in the past 100 years has probably darkened our doors at some point or called us to see if we have collections that would speak toward their research project. So there have been a lot of other scholars who have researched and written on the Vietnam War, and they have come to Hoover to use, for example, maybe the Lansdale papers or the Overseas Weekly photographs, things of that nature.
Before leaving our guest, Gene Cannon, who is an archivist at the Hoover Institution, I wanted to know what other services are provided in the library and archives of the Hoover Institution.
Well, certainly we provide research assistance for a wide range of scholars and journalists and students and artists sometimes. We have a lot of people coming in to use the collections. But in addition to assisting researchers, we also have a lot of classes that come in to use archival materials. We also have exhibitions, so exhibitions on a wide range of materials, everything from, you know, from Russia to China to Japan to, you know, kind of covers the globe. So we usually have two exhibitions a year. And then we have a wide series of lectures and events. So we'll have scholars come in and talk about the research that they have done in the archives.
How can people find out more about the collections at the Hoover Institution?
Probably the easiest way to read about our collections and also our events and exhibitions is to go to our website, which is hoover.org/library-archives. But also, I want to invite everyone, if they are near Stanford campus in the area, just to come visit the Hoover Tower, also the exhibit pavilion, and maybe the reading rooms.
And what are some of the plans for the Hoover Institution's centennial?
For the Hoover Centennial, we'll have a large-scale exhibition, and that will open in 1919.
You've been listening to Modern Tech News on KZSU Stanford 90.1 FM. Thank you so much for joining us today. And we would like to thank our guest, Gene Cannon, very much for her time and for today's interview. If you would like more information about the Hoover Institution's archives, please visit hoover.org/library-archives. And if you would like a copy of today's interview, please download it from moderntechnews.com. That's moderntechnews.com. And please follow the link to news.